Thank you for listening to the Guitar Caster Podcast on Magnetic Eye Records Radio.
Guitar Caster is brought to you by Steamboat Amplifiers, creators of the Super Deluxe, Classic 18 and 50 Watt, the compact size Tugboat, and many more original ideas. When you need quality without compromise for your completely custom build, or you simply need your beloved tube amp repaired, look no further than Steamboat Amplifiers. Visit their website at steamboatampworks.com or their brick and mortar store located in Houston, Texas.
Can either be an asshole or a rapist.
But never both.
What's your new job, Trevor?
Working Expo Audio. It's pretty...
Expo? That sounds pretty intense, man.
It's the perfect balance of slightly soul-sucking and slightly...
Trevor Smith, slightly sucking.
I'll take that, yeah. Welcome to the Guitar Caster Podcast, where we are the reason that gear is cool.
Yo!
I'm your host, Trevor Smith, and with me, as always, is Fixed Bias Master General Jake Reinierson.
Ahoy.
Of Steamboat Amplifiers, where we are actually performing this interview at today. Also joining us is the Houston native musician, as well as Jake's employee here at Steamboat Amps, Juan Magma Magana.
Dreamboat.
Yeah, thank you. Would you mind giving me a come on for our longtime listeners, the Bucket Brigade?
Come on!
Y'all heard us. Y'all heard us mention that we're pretty busy.
Come on.
Jake is getting married in a couple of days.
Hey.
All right, round of applause.
Hey.
Juan is graduating and finally going through puberty.
And Trevor is learning about the responsibilities of being an adult.
That's not wrong. But yeah, I just started a full-time job. I actually went through the opposite of a wedding recently. In addition to all of that, I got an awesome new roommate named Ron Busby, which brings us to a new Guitar Caster bit that he made up himself. We're dubbing it the Roommate Ron segment. Here's the first one.
Hey guys, this is Roommate Ron with the Roommate Ron segment of the Guitar Caster podcast. So this week, Trevor made a few interesting noises in his guitar room. Trevor plays guitar all the time. His music room is right next to my room. And I enjoy it because Trevor jams good. So here's some music that I heard Trevor making, and this is my best impersonation of it. Here we go. Okay, that was him trying out a pedal. I'm not sure what pedal. He told me what it was. I can't remember. But it was very glitchy. Also, Trevor started crying this week. Not like real crying, just like he was pouting. I could see it. One of his favorite pedals, one of my favorite pedals, I don't even know what it is. I think it's a reverb pedal, like a shimmer verb. That's what he told me. I might be blowing that out of the water wrong. Shimmer verb called the Eterna. And it's flailing out. It's dying. It's sad. What are you going to do? Well, can't build another one. It's a unique one. You could build one like it, apparently. I don't build fucking goddamn pedals. This is just him telling me. Anyway, what other noises did Trevor make? Trevor slams doors. Just always just slamming doors. But I love him. So that's not to say anything bad about him. It's just he's a man with a purpose. You know, he knows what he needs to do and he knows how to shut that door. Yeah, Trevor plays some pretty good tunes in his little tune room. I try and get on the drums sometimes. We have a little drum kit set up. I suck, but he's super nice. He tries to keep a beat for me. He turns on his little... He's like, keep that. And I'm like, all right. And I can't keep that. And I feel bad for him. And he's always trying to riff off me. And that's very cool of him. But you know what? I like to leave him alone a lot and just listen to him play. And that was the Roommate Ron segment of the Guitar Caster podcast. Enjoy your day.
Isn't the opposite of a wedding a divorce?
It might as well have been. It might as well. Emotionally? Oh, it was.
Press F.
You know, the French call an orgasm a little death.
Oh, sure.
Le petit mort.
Oh, yeah. I love that shit.
I long for death's sweet release.
Oh, man. All those emo bands are talking about fucking.
That's plenty of lollygagging. Let's get on with the subject
of this episode,
which is very near and dear to my heart. That being the effect company, Death by Audio.
Death by Audio? We are going to be covering a ton of their pedals throughout this episode. And if anything sounds like fun to play, which let's be honest, all of these DBA pedals are a ton of fun to play. You can come check them out here at Steamboat Amps in Houston, Texas, as we are the only Death by Audio dealer in the Houston area.
Nice.
In fact, that's encouraged. Come drink a beer with us up here at Steamboat
Amps. I mean,
Amps.
Bring us some beer. I mean, I don't know about hanging out with me or anything.
Without further ado, this nasty, tough as nails, DIY-inspired company founded in 2002 by Oliver Ackerman, Death by Audio is a small, handmade effects pedal company providing pedals for bands spanning the gambit as far as Lightning Bolt, a Wilco, to Nine Inch Nails, to U2, and furthermore. Death by Audio originally was a warehouse space on the first floor of an industrial building in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York.
Hip!
It's serious. It got so gentrified in the past couple years. It shared the name of the effects pedal company that was based in the space in the warehouse, operated primarily as a workspace for artists and musicians, but also functioned as a recording studio, effects pedal factory, as well as an art and music venue by 2007.
Artists such as Ty Segall, Dirty Projectors, Growing, Tony Conrad, Thurston Moore, The OCs, Zach Hill, Paint It Black, Future Islands, Piss Jeans, Jeff the Brotherhood, Frank Sidebottom, and Dan Deacon have all performed at Death by Audio.
The venue was run by Jason Amos and Matt Conboy, who created and are featured all throughout the documentaries We Were Here and Goodnight Brooklyn, the story of Death by Audio. In 2007, the collective started Death by Audio Records in order to release material by the bands that practiced in the warehouse. By April 2008, the venue received nonprofit 501c3 status, which is pretty dang cool.
What does that mean? Are they a church?
Tax. Well, yeah, exactly. You don't pay taxes. Possibly even cooler than the pedals, in November 2013, the Death by Audio Arcade began showcasing custom arcade cabinets built by local indie game developers.
That's pretty rad.
I thought so, too. There's an arcade right by my house that's like $30 a month, and you get to bring like 5 guests.
What are we doing?
Seriously, what are we doing? It's BYOB also. So
yeah,
like,
but then you got to like drive to another city.
The woodlands right by my house. I work right by you now.
Come visit us then.
Never. Sadly though, by late 2014, Vice Media bought or began renting the building Death by Audio was located in, forcing them to shut the venue down. The last show held in the space was November 22nd, 2014.
Oliver is also in a band called A Place to Bury Strangers, and their live performance absolutely destroys all of their equipment on stage, and they'll drag fuzzed out drum machines into the crowd for you to mess with the sequencers and stuff. So that's actually how I found out about Death by Audio, was I found out about A Place to Bury Strangers.
It's either one or the other, and you always find out about both, almost.
It's like, this sounds like a fuck ton of noise, and it has like a weird vibe to it.
You know, their pedals just put you in that sound.
Like,
you know,
my weird friend Joe would like this.
Do you have a friend Joe? Or
yeah,
is that
yeah.
Just...
My weird friend Joe.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah, I think Joe would like this. And then I looked him up in Death by Audio.
Yeah, we could honestly dedicate an entire episode just to that band. And I've seen them so many times. But that being said, let's jump into these pedals. Starting us off, we have their most popular pedal, the Fuzz War. Lifted from the Death by Audio website, call in the Army, the Navy, Scotland Yard, your mom, and the Mario Brothers. You'll need all the help you can get to stop this endless wall of fuzz from raging. I thought that was kind of funny. This kill-all circuit explodes with an insane distortion that does the Big Muff cello-like sustain thing, but can get trebly lead tones as well.
So the controls are as follows. There's a volume, which controls the overall output level. Fuzz controls the gain of the fuzz circuit. At its lowest setting, the pedal just acts as a tone shifter. As the fuzz knob is turned up, it sweeps from a booster to an overdrive to a thick distortion to a full-on blown-out war fuzz. Tone is a specially designed multi-curve shaping filter, which changes the timbre, changes the timbre of the pedal from super deep bass sludge to screaming highs. I think the fuzz tone in itself is amazing, but the tone control on this pedal is really versatile.
I've never really had a pedal that I cared so much about the tone control on.
Well, this one like lets you do so many different types of fuzzes with it. You can get a massive like Big Muff style fuzz, and then you can get the tone all the way up, and it's like a shrill kind of like brittle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody that plugs this thing in loves it.
This is their best-selling pedal, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they just fucking crank them out.
Also, the spray-painted graphics stick to their DIY attitude.
Word. It's cool that they still spray paint.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, we could talk about this right now. I mean, every Death by Audio pedal kind of has own
uniqueness.
Aesthetic.
A little like, bit.
I mean, I guess most of them are just screen-printed, but like, you know, the Reverberation Machine has a metal plate that's like extremely different than the others. The Fuzzwar has a spray-painted thing. I love this pedal. I think it's a really good one. It's kind of, for me, it's like a tone bender meets a Big Muff, which is awesome. When these originally came out, they only had two knobs. I think they added a master volume to it, so you could tame the pedal, which is kind of common. Their pedals have a lot of output.
Yeah,
sometimes you're like screwed.
Same with that, as we'll find out, the Total Sonic Annihilation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure that the second iteration, they added a master volume.
This was the first the only Death by Audio pedal I own is the Fuzzwar. I mean, I got it for $20 off Craigslist.
Tell that story.
Yeah, I saw a Craigslist post for a Fuzzwar.
It was on Craigslist. It was $20.
Pretty much.
It was a Fuzzwar.
I was like,
nice,
man,
knowing you.
That's super cheap. I'll hit him up. And then I think it was that same day. I met him at like a Walgreens. And I gave him $20, and he gave me a Fuzzwar and a power supply.
20 American dollars.
I'm not doing it unless it comes with the power supply, bro.
Right?
18.
Yeah. 10.
Well, then what'd you do with it afterwards?
Oh, I just modified it a bunch. I went to Tagboard Effects, and I found the Interstellar Overdrive like board layout. I put one of those in there. I added some diode clipping options. And I think I added another foot switch so that I could... Oh, it changes the first transistor of the Interstellar Overdrive. That I think we're going to talk about that on later, but it's an amazing like overdrive and also kind of like low-gain fuzz pedal. So stacking them gives you a nice kind of tone.
I did not include that.
Well, the Interstellar Overdrive is a great overdrive pedal.
And you can buy it here at Steamboat Amps.
I think it's the same price range as the Fuzzwar, too.
Yes.
There's the Interstellar Overdriver Deluxe, which has two Interstellar Overdrives in one.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to get those, but I don't think they would ever move.
Yeah.
Is that like a Marshall? Isn't it like a preamp or something like that?
No, it's like this weird transistor-based overdrive.
Yeah, they like ground the bass or whatever. Or the emitter. They ground.
I'm cutting that out because that doesn't make any sense.
Ground the collector.
Ground the collector.
Let's go ahead and move on to
Ground collector. Is that like an excavator?
Dude, that's a good band name.
Ground collector.
Ground collector is a doom band for sure.
Oh shit, you guys want to start a band? Okay. Ground collector. Damn, I was wanting to be in a good band.
Listen to Bayou Saints.
Let's go ahead and move on to our next Death by Audio pedal, the Absolute Destruction.
That is the Absolute Destruction.
Absolute. destruct ion.
Trevor misspelled absolute as absolute.
Well, it's right on the next page. Okay, so this might be DPA's most insane pedal.
Good point. Showing okay. little to no respect for what instruments normally sound like or even what people want them to sound like. This pedal delivers thick, gnarly fuzz tone with a blendable octave up. This whip sports sliders instead of knobs with a master output knob, which acts like a limiter, but we have Juan here to describe it in detail.
Master volume basically controls the output volume of the effect. Overload sets the ceiling at which the pedal overloads. When this is turned up all the way, or I guess slid all the way to the left, right? When this is slid all the way to the left, the pedal will not overload. As the control slides to the left, it pulverizes the sound more rapidly. Sliding the gain control to the right increases the gain and distortion. The horizontal sliders have been recessed to protect them from bending or any accidental movement while playing. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm sure you can still kick it off. The Absolute Destruction utilizes a powerful amplifier IC to generate its insane sound. You can starve the circuit until your signal eats itself. Push it to the maximum, and your sound will duck completely into the void before it returns, coming back to life with a relentless vengeance.
Its gain and overload sliders interact to create a wide range of unique sounds in various positions. You choose to your liking how much to absolutely destroy your sound. The further the overload, the further the overload control is set to the left, the faster the effects slip into absolute destruction. Blow it out even harder and faster by slamming gain and overload opposite one another. To do that, you were like really got it. You got to hit it with like another pedal because like if you're just playing your guitar straight into the overload, you don't have like enough juice running from your guitar to like get through the pedal. Like it just like gates out like super harshly. So it's like if you want to use that part of the pedal, you got to like push a fuzz into it or like a giant boost or something.
This is a pedal for you guys with like EMG active pickups.
Okay. So lower one or the other control for smoother attack and release. Think of it as a psychotic compressor or perhaps the sound your amp would make if you set fire to it.
Okay, Trevor.
Absorte.
That's a perfect way of putting it. Let's move on to the apocalypse. That's kind of a funny phrase.
Apocalypse?
Let's just move on to the...
Let's move on to the apocalypse.
Apocalypso!
It's a bit dramatic, isn't it, Trevor? The Apocalypse is DBA's jack-of-all-trades fuzz pedal.
Ooh!
After being dramatically overdriven, the signal is routed to a selectable post-amplifier. The user can toggle through its five signal paths and choose their desired apocalyptic sound. To further refine it, control the sweepable frequency equalizer and design your tone to your liking.
So there's a rotary selector, which is going to let you choose between five options. There's the Twin T Scoop, which is a circuit adding bass and treble simultaneously. It provides quieter volume than the rest. It's kind of like a scoop tone. The War Fuzz is a very full and dynamic distortion with rich harmonics and sustain. The Dual JFET is similar to the War Fuzz setting, but it's using dual JFETs to get its sound. The Octave Rectum... Octave Rect sums the bottom and...
Is that rectifier?
Octave rectifier sums the bottom and top halves of a waveform to create an octave up. Then gain times 1,000 is the gain is cranked super high on... is it gain 1,000 or gain size?
Gain times 1,000 is just a funny phrase. That's all.
Gain X 1,000.
Gain X 1,000. The gain is cranked super high on this post-amp, causing erratic results. It's kind of like the insane...
The insane mode of a spider amp.
Yeah, all my line 6 died. The one on my bench.
Oh, man. You went too insane.
Stop getting crazy.
Then volume adjusts the output volume of the pedal. There's drive, which controls the volume of the initial preamp inside the pedal. Turn it up to get more distortion and fuzz, or pull it back to get cleaner overdrives and boost. The sweepable frequency equalizer is a special tone knob designed to function as a multitude of tone controls simultaneously. Its range is extreme, starting with a bass booster that fades into a mid-scoop, followed by a mid-boost, and eventually into a few stages of treble boosting to give you a beautiful, bright sound.
If you were a keyboardist or whatever, you know, if you were able to use your hands while playing the instrument, like, this would be a cool pedal to fuck with. It's got that big old knob that wants you to sweep it back and forth.
Yeah, the range on that control is like stupid. Yeah. Like, and I think it's similar to their Evil filter.
Yep.
But god damn, it is just like, I've never, ever in my life come across a circuit with that wide bandwidth. If you ever felt like popping over to the shop and trying this guy out, this pedal is great, not just as your main sound, but as a boost for solos, an amp-simulated recording DI, a bass blitzer, or you can run anything you want into this to beef up, blast out, or supercharge.
This next pedal I'd like to run through sort of quick, just because we have a ton to get to today. But I love it so much we couldn't cut it from the episode completely, but somehow we cut the Super Overdriver, so I feel really bad.
It's called Interstellar Overdriver.
You put a pedal we don't have in it, but we... All right, Trevor.
It's going to be the Micro Harmonic Transformer. Right.
Micro Harmonic Transformer.
Micro Transformer.
Micro Harmonic.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to order some Death by Audio pedals right now.
That'll be fun.
Which ones y'all want to get?
That $470 one.
What?
Come on, Dad. Do you have the reverb?
Yeah, we've got the reverb. It kicks fucking ass.
Yeah, the reverb's pretty good.
It's like one of the best reverbs I've ever fucked with.
All right. This pedalboard-friendly fuzz pedal will intermodulate your sound and unleash ringing, raging sound on the world. Super big, super vicious, and super intense, the Harmonic Transformer isn't necessarily a set-and-forget kind of pedal, despite its no-bullshit layout.
So the controls are volume, which controls the master volume, the intensity toggle, which is going to adjust the mix of the transformation, increasing the fuzz and bringing out harmonics. Harmonic shape toggle. This adjusts a complex filter, changing the harmonic content. It lets you choose between a deep, full harmonic spectrum or a drier, scoop metallic sound.
I own this pedal as a clone. Had my best friend in the entire world, actually the dude that designed the GuitarCaster logo, so you know it looks good.
Aww.
He painted the enclosure for my clone, and it rivals that of any ZVEX creation out there, or perhaps, you know, say like the Mona Lisa, or, you know, it looks good, man. I'll post it on Instagram. It's all white and black, and it looks like it's growing hair and stuff. It's awesome.
What's it called? Micro Harmonic Transformer?
Yeah. It's really cool.
Guess we'll have to get one. Okay, putting it on my order.
All
right.
That's all the time I want to dedicate to this pedal, but I bet it would sound amazing plugged into the effects loop of this brand new pedal. We have the Total Sonic Annihilation 2. TSA2 works on a simple premise. What if effect pedals were patched back into themselves? The TSA2 creates a controllable feedback loop, causing your pedals to cycle back on themselves, allowing for true sonic exploration.
So like the feedback of your delay pedal, but on anything.
Yeah, I mean, anything. It's so much a tinkerer's pedal.
Trevor, what's false sonic exploration?
Surely said full, right?
Well, you said true sonic exploration. I'm just wondering what false sonic exploration would be.
I mean, you know, like...
I mean, there's posers in everything, true. Right?
Yeah. Don't be false. You don't want it.
Every unique pedal that you chain to this thing will produce a vastly different world of textures and possibilities.
The controls include feedback. This is the big knob.
I call the big one Bitey.
This is the big knob. This controls the amount of send, the external effect input, that is forced back into the receive, the external effect output. This creates a feedback within the circuit to create new, unbridled, experimental effects and results. The more this knob is turned up, the more intense and explosive the effect will be. The active boost is also in this loop, and if engaged, will be forced back into itself to create its own wild and interesting sounds if nothing is plugged into the loop. The on switch, when it's in the on position, this toggle switch activates the active boost circuit. The phase flips the phase of the effects loop only when the active boost is on. The gain controls the amount of gain of the active boost circuit. Limit limits the output volume of the entire pedal only when the active boost is engaged. The stomp switch bypasses the effect. And when the TSA2 is turned off, the TSA2 is bypassed, but every pedal in the loop is still part of your signal chain. Any effects in the loop will work as usual.
Oh, so if you just want to use those pedals normal.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's really
cool. Okay, it's going on the order.
It's my boss bought one up at NAMM this year, and he was like, I bought it just because the booth guys were so cool.
The new features of version 2, if you've used a feedback loop before, like the first edition of the TSA, then you know the vast world of insane and wild sounds you can get. With its new updated version of the original, the active boost maximizes usability for many applications where the original fell short. For example, if the effect in the feedback loop is out of phase with itself, the loop would turn the pedal into a volume or blend pedal and be somewhat disappointing. With TSA2, just flip the phase switch and all of a sudden those once dormant possibilities are awakened. The boost also has a boatload of gain. To awaken even the faintest effect into an unearthly behemoth, and a limiter to tame the most unruly beast into a purring kitten. Experiment with as many different pedals in the feedback loop for unique and incredible results.
Okay, we're officially done with standalone fuzz pedals. Let's move on to some of Death by Audio's weirder offerings. Here comes the deep animation.
Wow, wow,
yeah. Wow, wow. Nailed it, y'all. This mangled, filter-sweeping, abruptly overdriving pedal responds to the touch of your playing. It syncs its wave-thumping movement with the force at which you play. It multiplies dynamics into a hyper-exaggerated frenzy. It adds just the right amount of movement to punch through the mix, and it reacts to an external trigger of your choosing to follow your tempo, which is insane. Here is a sound clip of what we were experimenting with and came up with. All right, guys, so I figured out how to trigger this deep animation by using a bass guitar. It's an EB0 going into a Mr. Black Big Payback that is going into the trigger of the deep animation. I'm going into Jake's Shoreliner, kind of Jaguar with Strat pickups, into the deep animation, out of the deep animation, into the amplifier. It's like a champ that Jake built here at Steamboat Amplifiers. I'm going to hit the guitar, as you'll hear, and then I'm going to trigger quarter notes with the bass guitar. I don't have many hands free, so it's just going to be a single note. Just bump, bump, bump. You'll see.
I don't know about that shit.
The sounds are wild, the thump is thick, and the animation is deep.
Should have put some fucking Animaniacs on this motherfucker.
Controls. The input, you plug an instrument into this jack. Straightforward there. Thanks for including that, Trevor.
Well, because we get to this next one, that's why we include the other two.
The trig, it allows for trigonometric computations. Now you plug another instrument into this jack and use it to trigger the filter sweep.
Whoa. For trigger, yeah.
Bro, let's do that.
Out connects to the amplifier or the next pedal in your chain. Sensitivity, it's going to determine the point at which the filter engages and the frequency range of the filter shift in relation to the input amplitude. It's kind of like the threshold of the filter. Intensity, it simultaneously blends in the resonance, amount, and grit of the filter. The volume adjusts the output volume of the deep animation. Frequency selector, it's going to let you select the frequency range of the filter. I like how they added the, it's like bass clef to treble clef.
Right. In the middle clef. You don't see that too often.
No. That's a real... I was about to say, that's a fucking thing?
Yeah.
You ever like, heard of middle clef?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's for real nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, this is the graphics on the front of the deep animation, y'all.
Here's some shit you never seen. What'd it do?
Yeah.
We don't even know.
Who knows there's a middle clef.
So there's two foot switches. You have bypass, which is just the true bypass of the effect, and up slash down. It's going to control the polarity of the filter decay once triggered. Up switches the frequency from higher frequencies to lower ones, and down is the opposite of that. Some additional features is there's a subtle light to indicate the external trigger behind the main bypass LED. I had no idea. That's kind of cool. You try that out.
This is like a really powerful pedal. It's one of those things it's hard to show people because to dial it into what you're trying to do, you have to be kind of exact or it gets real loose. It's an envelope filter, right? So it doesn't work the same way that any other one of them works. I mean, you really, you have to use the frequency selector to match your instrument or even your riff if you want to get that exact, which you can. And that's what I have to say about that.
What's up, guys? This is Trevor with this week's GuitarCaster Smoke Break. This is an amateur or unsigned band's chance to promote their current project and be heard. Submit your original recordings to guitarcasterpodcast@gmail.com for your chance to be featured. Enjoy, and may the rock gods look out for this band on their path to success.
Thank you.
ahead and move on to a pedal. Y'all have heard me mention that I love several times, the Echo Dream 2.
My favorite Trevor quote is, I was explaining to him some of the shortcomings of the Echo Dream 2. And he's like, well, you know, you only buy that pedal for the feedback.
Is feedback.
I like the fuzz on it.
Yeah, it sounds great. That's what our thank you for listening to Magnetic Eye Records Radio. Dun, dun, dun. That guitar part, that's the Echo Dream 2. It's heavy. It's fucking heavy fuzz.
You traded yours for the robot, right?
Yeah, which we're gonna get to, y'all, but I'm still happy about that trade. I missed that pedal, still happy about it though. This Echo Dream 2 is a lush modulating echo. It's a powerful ethereal delay pedal with otherworldly controls. In my humble and educated opinion, as Juan already said, this pedal has some of the best oscillation on the market. Introduce a bit of warble with the modulator for ghastly chorus tones, or a ton of it to absolutely warp the delayed signal. Once your delay is thoroughly warbled, turn up. Shout out to the warble, y'all. Toxic Planet.
Hey.
Turn up the fuzz.
I never met a warble I didn't like.
And pulverize it into delayed, shattered pieces.
The controls. Master sets the overall volume. Fuzz sets the amount of gain from clean to fuzzed out bliss. Like I said earlier, the fuzz on this pedal is pretty wicked. Delay sets the volume of the delayed signal. D time controls the delay time. Numbers are shown in milliseconds, between 20 milliseconds and 1.2 seconds. The long delay times can create flutter, noise, and distortion. Feedback controls the feedback of the delays, from slapback to wild runaway oscillation. There's a left toggle, which is kind of like half moon, and then a full moon, which the half moon shows for the clean blend, and the full moon is to kill the dry signal and hear only the repeats.
So it's like you can either have half of a mix or a full mix with that switch. You know, it's 50% mix or 100% full. It is really hard to get extremely usable tones with the full wet.
I feel like that's a nice like recording thing.
Yeah, this is such a studio pedal.
Or if you had like separate chains on your pedal board.
Oh yeah, that's how I always ran it. So you keep that, you still do have a half dry signal in theory, except that one's wet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise you're only at 25%, bro.
Speed controls how fast the modulator runs. The modulation on this pedal is pretty crazy. It gets really like seasicky. Depth sets how far the modulator will swing the delay time. At high intervals, the pitch of the repeats will shift several semitones. In the up position, it provides a smoother modulated waveform. And the down position provides a sharp square wave shape.
This pedal is awesome for the tinkerer. You can dial in a bunch of different stuff from just delay to just fuzz, heavy modulation, and anywhere in between. This could be a pedal board in itself for a certain type of musician, which is not me.
Yeah, like, as Jake said, like, you know, sort of the forthcomings of this pedal, I'm going to preface this next bit with, this is one of the most fun pedals I have ever played personally. That being said, my only two complaints could be that if I forget to turn down the oscillation on it, you know, if I send it spinning out of control, and then turn off the effect, you can still hear it in the background whenever it's bypassed.
Yeah, that's one of the shortcomings I was talking about.
As well as you can sort of never get rid of the modulation, if I remember correctly. Like, you can have it at zero and a really slow modulation speed. You can never turn it to zero or whatever. And, like, it just goes, dang it, every 30 seconds or something like that. Like your fucking delays will have some weird blip.
This delay isn't for the little boys that want that clean delay.
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. There's a time and place for this.
The little clean delay boys.
Right. This ain't your John Mayer. YouTube.
This is a man's delay.
This is a big boy's delay from New York.
Someone
big
was,
smelly hairy boy.
Someone was in here earlier and they were playing John Mayer. And I was like, no John Mayer.
I thought you were going to say there was like a big smelly guy here earlier.
It was Jake.
Damn.
All of this is remedied for the other type of musician that is more worried about signal clarity or simply when the gig demands it, you know, with the micro dream delay.
To me, the Micro Dream is the far superior delay pedal from them, but I guess it's a little more normal.
Yeah, I mean, is this their pumpkin spice latte offering?
I don't know.
If they had one?
I thought that would be the Interstellar Overdrive.
I'm glad we didn't include that one.
I'm just joking. In that case.
the pumpkin spice death by audio.
It's probably, you know, it gets all. It's like every year Starbucks releases it, and every year people buy it. I don't know. Hold on. I'm having trouble.
Trevor likes a good pumpkin spice. He's got a pumpkin spice bath bomb. It's
pumpkin spice haircut.
Pumpkin spice.
Can I talk to your pumpkin spice manager?
On this pedal, you're able to set the internal trim pot to adjust the feedback point so that it can stay mellow or scream into self-oscillation. But it's cool that you can set it to where it will never do the I can still hear it even when it's bypass thing.
A breakthrough.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know there was a trim pot on this one.
Neither on the inside. Did
I. Yeah. Let's go bust out that one.
Like these fucking things have trim pots? What?
Knobs inside of knobs.
We've opened a few of them, and I guess we didn't open that one.
I opened up my robot, and I took it up to a place to bury strangers show, and had Oliver sign it, sign the bottom of my robot.
God. You're excruciating.
did you bring the whole pedal or just the back plate?
Just the back plate.
Okay, cool.
Wow, he really, like, thought this through.
Yeah. He missed her. This is the exact same thing as the Echo Dream 2, simply stripped down. They ditched the fuzz as well as the modulation and just left the grainy delay that's on board the Daddy version. If we've got dynamics, delay, and modulation, we of course need some reverb. Now entering the Death by Audio Reverberation Machine.
Out the gate, I'm gonna say that this is the best reverb pedal on the market.
Whoa, hot take. There's a lot on the market, sir. There's
yeah, a whole and lot it all them. Sucks.
What and about the Empress reverb?
Good. You know, like there's all these pedal companies I'm really interested, but when they're like not made in the U.S., it's like there's like an extra layer of pain in the ass getting them, and it's already a nightmare trying to sell pedals for a living. So
Empress is Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry guys. We would have Empress and Origin.
If I want that dang Zoya so bad.
They need to come out with it first.
Yeah, they do.
I have the Empress compressor and it's sick.
It's got a sidechain on it.
It's so fucking sick. Yeah, it does have a sidechain.
So you could, we could, hold on.
Oh, are we going to talk
about sidechain something into that and then trigger the.
The deep animation?
The deep animation.
So check it out. The
that.
The Echo Master has a fucking, you know, effects loop. So, you know, you put the sidechain Empress compressor into the effects loop of the Echo Master. Dope.
Wouldn't it just sound like your fucking volume's going all over the place?
Well, I mean, you could just, what I'm saying is, you know, you could trigger a mic'd source. You could trigger the compressor on a mic'd source.
I'm gonna have to hear
very
it.
Interesting.
I'm gonna have to hear it to believe it.
Okay. All right.
This super dreamy.
All right, all right.
This is a super dreamy reverb you can overload. This animal is a synthetic atmosphere creator. Use the effect on any instrument to add depth and simulate different environments. Push the altitude and hear the reverb blasted with gloom and distorted shimmer. It's like an altitude knob. Flip the tone toggle to get completely different vibes. This is the most A Place to Bury Strangers pedal, probably, out of the Death by Audio lineup. It just nails a bunch of that stuff from Exploding Head. I even saw them selling exclusive versions of this at a couple of their shows. You know, funny orange-colored ones or something like that.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah. They might have sounded different, too. Who knows?
So the controls are volume, which controls the master output volume. Altitude control, the triangle. This is similar to gain. Turn it up to bring in a more wide, open, distorted sound. Verb blends in the amount of reverb. Dark slash light tone symbols, the dark cavernous reverberation to bright shimmering reverberation.
The reason I like this pedal is that you can actually make it sound like a tube reverb. I mean, maybe it's like pretentious or whatever, but the reason why I don't like reverb pedals is because I've been fucking up to my eyeballs in Fender reverb amps my whole career. And that is the reverb sound. But I mean, this actually cops it pretty legitimately. I mean, if you put it on the bright mode and keep the triangle, like, you can't turn the triangle all the way down. You got to turn it, like, just a little bit up. And then it gets, like, this, like, natural sound. And but, man, it kicks ass on the extreme settings also. It has the volume control that goes past unity. Which I think all effects pedals should do now. Like, JHS has been doing that on all their pedals, and it's like, duh. You have a modulation pedal with a mix and a volume that can go past unity? Bring it on. As a testament to this pedal being a very Place to Bury Strangers pedal, there's a warning here on the website that says, when the altitude and verb controls are turned past 12 o'clock, pedal can produce potentially harmful volumes, white noise, and other artifacts. Which I've never experienced, personally, but okay. Another pedal that will totally wreck your earballs, Death by Audio Ring Modulator, named the Robot.
Robot.
Should have called it the Robot.
Why?
Because Futurama is tight.
Oh.
That's what Zoidberg calls Bender. Okay, fuck off.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. This is a 8-bit pitch ring lo-fi granulizer.
Oh, finally a granulizer.
What does that mean? Noise.
Oh. All right.
The Robot is a low-fidelity 8-bit pitch transposer with absolutely no feelings whatsoever.
Oh, thank God, a pedal without feelings.
Like me. It is completely synthetic and transforms any input into a puree of resynthesized robot jargon. Think like a Korg Miku, but more Death by Audio style. This is supposed to be a joke. Features.
Funny is how unfunny it was.
Yeah. This pedal features a bendable super lo-fi octave up. Octave down. Arpeggiator. And unity pitches.
The controls. Volume controls the master volume. Control knob is located on the right-hand side of the pedal. It controls the pitch of the effect. When turned up completely clockwise, it is at its highest pitch. Turning it down counterclockwise lowers the pitch or speed of the arpeggiator.
Right. So like that arpeggiator can go... Or you can speed it up real quick. Yeah, the fuzz is really cool on it just because it can get really shrill or really starved.
All right, there's one on the order.
Cool. So the rotary selector is going to allow you to choose between four different options. In the normal, it's the same pitch with 8-bit digital conversion when the control knob is fully clockwise. Turning the control knob down bends the pitch lower. Octave down, the control knob turned fully clockwise yields a nasty octave down sound. Turning the control knob down bends the bitch. Turning the control knob down bends the pitch further downward. Octave up, the control knob turned fully clockwise yields a nasty octave up sound. Turning the control knob down bends the pitch lower. Then the final option is arpeggiator. The pitch arpeggiates in a sequence. The control knob adjusts the speed of the arpeggiator.
This thing doesn't mention the internal gain knob.
There's an internal
gain. Yeah, like it's...
What's with this internal shit?
It's just so you can't
fuck it up.
Give us
a screwdriver slot or something.
Fuck that.
Like, you gotta be a fucking historian to learn this.
Jake's never changed a battery on a pedal.
Yeah, I mean, I open up every single pedal before I play it. I've check out the back of it.
All right, Elon.
Yeah. That being said, I know the least about circuitry out of any of these dudes. This pedal is so dang musical for how nasty it is. Idiot Box Effects was saying that the chip they use for this pedal is out of a toy robot.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's the HT8950. Does that mean anything to you nerds?
Well, actually, I've tried building this pedal before.
Why? How? When?
Who? Like, 5 or 6 years ago, I really wanted to see what it was about, and I was interested in the weird chip that they made, or that they made it from. But I don't know, I can never get the thing to work, and so I'll just buy one now.
It's got a big old knob, you'll like it.
I like big knobs, hey.
That's a bad joke. I know good jokes, okay?
Some guy made the knob joke earlier. Oh, I was talking about Austin when I was like, oh, I like your nose. She's like, oh, you like my
nose.
Yeah,
that was Austin. Smelly guy.
Shout out to Strats Forever.
Strats Forever.
Yeah, this HT8950 chip, it's used in like toys.
Like those Darth Vader toys where you like they pitch shift your vocals, they use this chip. And those toys are like $20.
I could stomp on that Darth Vader helmet 100 times and it'll still work.
Well, I think what Jake said earlier, like I've tried to build this.
Interesting use of your time.
I've tried to build this pedal as well, but I
oh,
didn't.
Really?
And I didn't realize that it needed a special power section. Like I thought it was just 9 volts. So that's probably why it wasn't working for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
let's find it and you can fix it.
Let's do it. But yeah, it looks like it uses a. I think like
what,
6.2 volts or something.
Is that called a choke?
Is that a doubler?
No, it's using
it's a splitter.
Yeah, it's using diodes for reference voltages.
Got
gosh. We've got the schematic right here in front of us, y'all.
Oh, it's a dual rail power supply? Oh, I definitely didn't make that. All right. All right.
Moving on to our next offering. This isn't really a guitar pedal at all, but it's so dang cool that we got to cover it. The vocal effect called the Echo Master.
I just want to dance with somebody. I just want to dance with somebody. I just want to dance with somebody. I just want to dance with somebody.
I am a huge fan of the Echo Master.
The Echo Master is a lo-fi analog tape-style delay that can transform the delay sound into a chaotic realm of noise and feedback.
Seems to be a reoccurring theme with Death by Audio. Who would have thought with a name like Death by Audio?
It's like it's a veneer. Shit is useful, all right? That's why they're so fucking popular.
I agree. The effects loop allows additional effects to be routed into the output, like the Total Sonic Annihilation 2, making it easy to fuse any of your favorite guitar pedals with your vocal sound.
Wait, you didn't even... Oh.
The Echo Master is not just a delay unit.
We gotta clear some shit up, okay? You know, it says it's a vocal effect. That's not necessarily true. It's an XLR effect. So, I mean, this... Okay, this thing is super powerful because, yeah, I mean, people use it with their vocals, but, I mean, you just plug a fucking microphone into it. So, you know, people are like, oh, I need to have my modulation on an effects loop. It's like, well, bitch, you can put it on the microphone that's on your amp. You can go post speaker, you know, you can go super effects loop with this thing. And that's all.
That was actually perfect. Didn't you just say the Echo Master is not a delay unit, however? Not just a delay unit? Well, Jake kind of said it for you.
Yeah, exactly. The Echo Master is not just a delay unit. It utilizes matched Bourne's transformers on the input to create a vibrant sounding preamp to bring you phenomenal vocal quality. Or, you know, just quality, as Jake said.
I mean, like, you can... Before you, you even know, hit the PA. Say you're singing with this device, you can put your guitar effects into the effects loop.
Joke. No. Love. Fart.
We put like some guitar compressors and the reverberation machine, excuse me, on the vocal track. Sounds fucking incredible. Sounds so good.
So the controls, time, controls the delay time, with numbers labeled in milliseconds. In the red zone, the delay chip is pushed to the extreme. The signal decreases in fidelity as the time increases. F-back controls the number of repeats in the delay circuit, anywhere from one to an infinite wall of oscillation. Mix controls the level of the delayed channel in comparison to the dry signal, from fully dry to an equal mix. Send/receive, plug out of the send jack into any additional effects, and back into the return jack to introduce new sounds into your vocals.
Yeah, so they designed this to interface guitar pedals specifically, and it works really, really well. If this is something you're interested in, the Echo Master can also be purchased with a mic stand backplate. So you take off the original just flat backplate, and it has a welded mic clip. So you can actually put this thing on your mic stand.
You don't got to bend over.
Yeah, so you don't got to bend over. Or you know, like if for guitar players that sing and use this, they could reach out from their guitar and adjust the mix, you know, like on the fly. As a vocal performance tool, it's awesome when you can play with the knobs as you're singing. Like the singer of my band, Bayou Saints, like we set him up with it, and he has worked as a DJ for like 15 years. And so he snapped to it instantly, and it was fucking awesome. I'm really trying to convince him to buy it because I think it would be a really cool tool for our band. And all the more useful with a microphone stand clip. But I would suggest people to get a music stand and put it on that and get a compressor pedal, get a reverb pedal. That way, your dynamics and your reverb are in your hands and not the sound engineer that you...
Right. I would like to elaborate on that, Jake. Like, just that as a local band, like, what sound engineer are you going to get that will know how to turn those knobs and things? You know what I mean? Like, so you, it's up to you to do that if you're a local band or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you want your vocals to sound incredible at every gig, get a nice compressor and put it in the loop of the Echo Master, that Empress compressor. But like, we even tried the Raugerau Sasquatch. Kicks ass in the loop.
That's a compressor?
Yeah, it's a compressor, yes. Sasquatch.
Oh, word. I thought you were just saying
very
it
clever,
wrong.
Right?
Just thought you were saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Can you bypass this effect?
Okay, so with the mix all the way to the left, that's
zero.
That's no echo.
Gotcha. But you still get the Borens transformer.
Right. Preamp.
A little bit of color.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right.
I mean, I can't speak highly enough of it. This and the reverberation machine, like, you know, we've been Death by Audio dealers for, I don't know, a little over a year. They actually contacted me and they're like, hey, these are like some of our best selling stuff. Like, you haven't ordered any. Like, did you know that some of our best selling stuff? And I'm like, I had no idea. Of course I want that stuff in the store. And when they came, I was like,
oh, I get it.
I get it now, you know. Earlier, I was going to say that the reverberation machine is like a total sleeper, but it's not. It's their number two selling pedal.
Oh, cool.
Like, people do know about it. I didn't know about it.
Right.
Now I think it's tight.
It's a tight ped.
Nice,
brah.
Well, last but not least, we're moving on to our truly oddball pedal. I could see used for synths or keys big time. But nonetheless, the final Death by Audio pedal today is the Evil Filter.
Evil. Or the truly wild.
Evil.
For the free and the brave.
Sporting a psycho high pass, band pass, low pass filter. That's the official term, psycho. With a sleek, laser-etched enclosure, this tall-as-fuck pedal can be pushed past the limit into octaves up, down, and folding envelopes. Its medical-grade IC chip creates a hyper-precise filter.
What the fuck? Medical-grade?
Yeah, it's good.
Alrighty,
it's good,
then.
It's a good IC chip. It y'all wouldn't understand.
What is that?
You're right. I don't.
It sounds like no other. The Evil Fuzz takes signals into a much darker dimension, offering an inverted compression toggle to push sounds even further into the depths. Using the CV expression input, you can control the filter cutoff frequency with an expression pedal or motherfucking synthesizer.
What? Whoop, whoop, whoop. A motherfucking synthesizer.
That's cool, bro.
Instead of an expression pedal, you just hold down that D key. Wow, make it sweep like that.
So the controls are: the filter frequency shows the cutoff frequency of the filter. The numbers shown are in hertz. Filter output is going to control the volume of the filter section of the pedal. The filter selector lets you choose between different filter types: low pass, band pass, and high pass. Filter resonance sets the resonance of the filter in conjunction with the resonance switch. It will self-oscillate at high levels. The resonance switch sets the range of the filter resonance knob between normal and high. The fuzz output controls the volume of the fuzz section of the pedal. I think they need to make a standalone version of this with just the fuzz.
Whoa.
The fuzz is pretty
wicked.
I wonder
what fuzz it is. Maybe like that's the microharmonic transformer or something, you know?
Holy shit.
We don't know. They're not telling us.
Fuzz type switch. It chooses between two different fuzzes, a sine wave fuzz for a lower, cleaner, more driving fuzz, and a square wave fuzz for a higher, more blasted output, blooming, insane fuzz. Expression CV input, plug in a CV control from 0 to 3 volts, or an expression pedal for external control of the filter frequency knob. The filter frequency knob sets the range for the expression CV input.
Would you be able to trigger this pedal with the CV jack on your ADA flanger, or is that backwards?
That's backwards. That's a CV.
You don't have a CV out on that pedal?
No, it's like you put CV in. It's the same as this pedal.
Same as this pedal.
Gotcha.
And by the way, CV is control voltage. It's a synthesizer thing. So this pedal, I don't know. I don't think it's a very useful guitar pedal. I mean, you really want your hands on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like, out of all their fuzzes, this is the one I like the least. So maybe it sounds better with different sources or whatever.
Keyboards.
Actually, I'm kind of interested to plug this into the Echo Master.
Gotcha.
That might open an interesting set of
parameters. That's crazy that all of these pedals are 9 volts in. Like, it's just a normal power supply on all of these. Yeah, like,
I think, you know, I think companies should really just stick to that format, like, because, I don't know, it's just become so standard. It's like, put your charge pump in there, put your doublers in there. Right. Like, just
Lone
just
Wolf
do
Audio
it.
Has a pedal that has, like, it's like headroom of 36 volts or something insane like that. And it's like, His are still just 9-volt pedals. You know, he just has that big of a choke in there. You guys got any closing thoughts on Death by Audio?
They're one of the coolest pedal companies, I think.
One
I
of like the most unique.
A lot.
They let their freak flag fly, and it's a beautiful freak flag. It's not just like, oh, yeah, that's cute. You're doing your own thing. It's like, it's useful, and there's purpose, and their message is awesome. Whatever that message is. Well, with all that said, that's going to conclude our show for today. Thanks so much for listening. Are your ears bleeding from all those nasty sound clips? Yuck. As for us, be sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at GuitarCasterPod in order to find out what's going on over here at Steamboat Amplifiers and GuitarCaster here in Houston, Texas.
Anyone ever needing an alternative method for streaming our pod can go to the website GuitarCaster.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Basically anywhere.
Let me just add that as we were doing this podcast, I put an order with Death by Audio. And so in about a week, we should have, we already had a lot of their pedals, but in a week or so, we should have literally every pedal they make.
Damn! I'm coming back in a week, baby.
So by the time the pod comes out, we'll have every pedal.
Oh, yeah, right. And I might be married.
Oh, but yeah. Hell yeah. Let me know if y'all want to come up and try them out. I'll come and play around with y'all, especially you Bucket Brigaders.
Be sure to link us to your band's latest project in order to get featured on the next Guitar Caster Smoke Break.
This week's feature was my buddy John Condit. We met him at the original Fuzz Booth in NAMM in Nashville. He's been a super awesome friend ever since. His band is called The Inscape, and the song we featured is called Back Home on the album We're All Wrong. Jake, you got any plugs?
The only plug I got is to come buy Death by Audio pedals at Steamboat Amps.
I thought he was going to say something else.
A butt plug.
Yeah. It's up my butt.
I left it at home today.
Z plugs.
Hey, if you want Captain Jake to produce your record at Sugar Hill, hit me up. I'd be happy to do it. If we get along, we'll have a pre-production meeting and I'll tell you if I can stand you
or not. I'll tell you if I'll accept your money.
I don't really have time to do this shit, but people have been hitting me up, and I really like doing it. So I want to produce at least 3 or 4 records this year. I've already got one down.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Juan, you got any plugs?
Yeah, check out Audio Disruption Devices. I think he does kind of Death by Audio style pedals.
ADD pedals?
Yeah, I think ADD. Yeah, ADD Pedals on Instagram. He has a big Death by Audio collection.
Of
never heard of him. I'll follow him right now.
Stuff that you've never, stuff they don't make anymore.
Yeah. A lot of old stuff. And then he makes really like weird delays, like large format ones where like
consoles.
Yeah.
ADD.
ADD Pedals.
He'll make like a modulation console and it's all like fucking 80s and sci-fi'd out or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Acid etching and yeah, all that stuff.
ADD Pedals.
I've done some acid etching, if you know what I mean.
To my brain, bro. Well, I guess if that's it, this is Trevor Smith saying, if you fuck with me, you're gonna burn. For one, Magma Maganya.
Dream Boat.
Captain Jake Reinerson.
Ahoy!
Thank you very much for listening to the Guitar Caster Podcast.
Yeah, we did it.
We fucking did it.
We did it.
Another episode. We'll be right back.
Guitarcaster is brought to you by Sugar Hill Studios. Built here in Houston, Texas in 1941, this establishment was a crucial stepping stone for the careers of legendary acts such as probably my favorite blues musician, Lightning Hopkins, George Jones, undeniably the greatest country voice ever, and many more. We recently recorded there, and the staff was just as nice as the product that they constantly churn out. Sugar Hill's collection of vintage recording equipment, reverb chamber rooms, and EMT plates is now available for immediate booking. So why not secure your spot today at Sugar Hill Studios? Whether it's tracking, mixing, editing, or mastering, be sure to hit up our boys at Sugar Hill.
Thank you for listening to the Guitar Caster Podcast on Magnetic Eye Records Radio.